Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast series. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your podcast host. As part of our overall Franchising 101 series, the Fran Coach team hosts a live monthly webinar called the Franchisor Spotlight. These webinars feature one of our franchise partners, and we dedicate a half hour to learning all about their brand, what they do, who makes a great owner, and how the franchisor offers support, and much, much more. Though there are a few slides shared throughout the webinar, most of the information is gained during the detailed conversation with our franchise guest. Therefore, we felt the spotlights would be a great addition to our podcast series. I hope you enjoy the Franchisor Spotlight as much as you do the rest of the podcast episodes. So before we get started with today's Franchisor Spotlight, I want to remind you that if you'd like to learn more about this or any of the 500 plus franchise partners we have, then please send us a message via our website at francoach.net. And now, here is today's spotlight. Thanks so much.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 series. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach, and your Franchising 101 host. Today, we are excited to bring you the January edition of our Franchisor Spotlight. In the Franchisor Spotlight, we feature one of our franchise partners, and we're going to spend the next 30 minutes or so getting a chance to take a very deep dive into what they are all about. The franchise we're going to have on with us today, they have a unique business model that leverages cutting-edge technology, which caters to a customer base that is very accustomed to being pampered. Some of the things we're going to talk about today, they have virtually no overhead, open to full and semi-absentee owners, the chance to build a team of very passionate and caring employees while generating multiple revenue streams and loyal repeat customers. So I know that sounds great and you're ready to hear the story behind this franchise. But before we tell you that story, we have to tell you this one. Who are we? Fran Coach, we are a national search firm dedicated to working with individuals who are interested in owning a franchise. We're partnered with over 500 of the top franchisors in the country, spanning nearly 60 industries. Our goal is to help clients find the absolute best franchise for them to own. Our goal of the Franchising 101 series is to help educate people on all aspects of franchise ownership. So that is a little bit about us. Let's get to the good stuff. The franchise we are shining the spotlight on today is called Fetch Pet Care. And joining us today is the Director of Franchise Development for Fetch, Mr. Tom Moore. Tom, my friend, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I am good, thank you. From sunny Denver, Colorado, where it'll be in the 50s, which may seem low for a lot of people, but we're excited about it.
You're running around out doing some yard work in shorts today, right?
Not exactly that, but it's still nice to see blue skies and have it above the 30s.
Well, see, I am jealous from the home office here in lovely Pima, Arizona. And if anybody can find Pima on a map without cheating, I'll give you like a $5 gift card for Fetch. But it is cloudy, windy, cold, so probably your normal day, basically. But so we have to be careful complaining too much about the few bad days in Arizona. So. We're excited to talk to you today. This is, maybe 6 months, maybe a little longer. We've been working closely with Fetch, and Tom, you and I go way, way back in the franchising world, but I'm truly excited about Fetch and look forward to hearing about it today. So jump in, man. We're going to fire a bunch of questions at you, but we're going to lob an easy one in. Tell us just a little bit about Fetch Pet Care.
Well, I'm glad you're putting those slides up, but it's a really basic business with the dog walking and pet sitting. So most of the animals that we're dealing with are dogs and cats, although the other day I had a candidate ask me if we did reptiles. And I was really clear that she could do whatever she wanted, but that was not anything I'd want to participate in. Anyway, there's playtime, there's the overnight care, which is really an important piece of what we do because it's an alternative to boarding. And a lot of people do not like to board their animals, whether on a business trip or on vacation. So we have people that literally are able to go in and and to provide that care in the environment they're used to. And you know, you put on here the puppy program. There's a lot of new puppies, but in addition to that, frankly, the shelters have just emptied. People want friends during this COVID experience, and surprisingly, our franchisees are doing very well during COVID. Some much better than they did the year before, and they had good years before. So, in addition to that, the pet taxi, where you're taking an animal to a vet, and but it's basically a service that takes care of people's children. You know, they've got human children, and sometimes they don't. But this is the other part of the family, and it's critical that we find franchisees who love animals and will treat them that way. So hopefully that's an introduction to that piece of what we do.
Well, no, absolutely. And the true pet owners, and I think dogs in particular, if they have two-legged children in addition to their four-legged ones, I think sometimes they like the four-legged ones more than the two-legged ones, right? So
that's true.
So we kind of talked about in the intro, right? This is a very pampered clientele with this. So you talked about something just from a COVID standpoint, right? We get asked a lot, right? Well, hey, how's, you know, oh geez, the pandemic, which, oh my gosh, we're almost a year into this thing, right? But, you know, well, how's it, you know, affected? Has it really hurt businesses? And I guess if you're a big box retail or restaurant or big fitness type of things, right? It's 2020 wasn't the best year, but, you know, you talked about this, the shelters, thankfully, right, for once, yep, are you know, close to empty, because we all got stuck at home. Everybody but me decided they wanted a pet around. So it's been, you've seen a huge increase in just the already large number of people who had a pet or a dog has increased greatly just in the last 6 to 9 months. That's been a huge thing for you guys, hasn't it?
It has. And just to add to that, you know, some people think, well, you know, COVID, people are staying home. Well, yes, people are staying home and they're spending a lot of time on conference calls, and they schedule them around somebody coming in and taking the dog for a walk because they don't want the dog barking or whining in the background. And so that's pretty critical. And, you know, I'm a little bit of a naysayer. I spent most of my career in the financial service world, and I know a little bit about investments and the economy. And I'm convinced that as time goes on, some tough things are going to happen. We're buried with referrals right now because of people that got laid off. But as time goes on, again, this is my perspective, but I believe a lot of people who are left in companies are going to be expected to work harder for less money. That means they're going to be spending more time at the office, which means that they still have their animals that need to be taken care of, and it just increases the opportunity. And when COVID's over, everybody, including me, are going on a lot of vacations, so that opens up some more doors.
Well, no, and the Tom, you and I have talked about this, is as things are opening up a little bit more, and I actually fly frequently. My fiance and I live in other states, so I'm on a plane three, four times a month. And you and I've kind of half joked, half serious. I'm like, you need, if there's owners of Fetch in Phoenix or Tucson, Arizona, or Tampa, Florida, Fetch, give me your business cards, because the amount of dogs that are on airplanes right now is a little, frankly, a little ridiculous. So sorry if I'm offending any dog owner that's bringing their dogs on the plane, but please stop. Please use Fetch for this.
So, we can help.
Yes, right. So either that, or I'm going to become your next franchise owner in one of those cities, right? With this, so there's a again, kind of high level what you guys do, and there's just a ton of kind of competitive advantages, things you guys have going. So I'm gonna leave this really broad for you and let you just kind of walk us through a little bit of some of the things that people can learn about Fetch and kind of some of the things within the business model that are really going to help an owner succeed.
Great. Well, and I want to go through those bullet points you have up, but something to just kind of have as top of mind is that in a lot of ways, this is like Uber for pet care. And you know, one of the benefits is there's redundancy, which means, I'll give you an example. I have a son who lives 10 minutes from me. They have this little dog that probably weighs 3 pounds, and her name's Marley. And when they go on a trip, 50% of the time when they're going out of town, I'll get a call either as they're leaving town in the car or they're going to the airport and say, so-and-so can't take care of Marley. Can you take care of her for, you know, 3 days or 2 weeks? You know, well, what happens if we're not around? So, you know, this is a great opportunity for people to have that care. And it's an important part of people being able to function in today's world. When you consider that literally 2/3 of households in America have at least one animal, it's a big market. And the market share of any group is so minuscule compared to what can happen out there. Fetch has been around for 18 years, but the truth is it was purchased in March of last year by a really moxie guy who understands franchising. Prior to that, it was owned by a private equity fund. And I know something about those private equity funds. And frankly, they don't care about anything but you know, the bottom line, not necessarily people or franchisees. So they let a lot of people in who really shouldn't come in and control a territory. So you know, when you look at this, the 85 million households have it. And it's something that is made very simple in many respects from the administration standpoint. I've run some companies and I've never seen anything that is easier to get into, frankly, and also easier to manage. So two things that you point out here. One is there's a concierge service. It's a call center. And it's staffed with people who really understand the business 365 days a year, from 8 to 8. So, you know, any marketing material that anybody has, they'll have a local phone number. And so any printed materials, website, business cards, any of that has a phone number. And that phone number is answered. So if it's, you know, if it was me owning it, they would answer the call. This is Fetch Pet Care of Parker, Colorado. How can I help you? Well, they tell the customer tells them what their needs are. They set them up with an account. If they're already an account holder, then no problem. They just schedule. But it's a lot of customer service, a lot of scheduling, a lot of back office pieces. So it's important that there's that human connection. But the next piece of it is, once that information is obtained by the concierge service, they input it into a phone app. And it's a cool phone app. It has everything from GPS functionality. So if I'm a pet owner and I have engaged my franchise to walk a dog, I can see in real time where my dog is going for a walk. So, you know, I can monitor that. I can pay through the app. We've got a merchant account that's all set up. So it's a great way for a franchisee to monitor what's going on with their business. It's a great way for the pet owner to be able to monitor what's going on with their animal. And it's a great way for the employee to be able to take care of scheduling and just making sure that everything is happening. So the franchisee has to make sure that if Betty Sue, who is one of your employees, for whatever reason, can't walk a dog that day because they got hit by a bus, you've got emergency people who can step right up immediately and take care of that responsibility. Now, knowing that we're going into people's homes, I just want to also make sure people understand that franchisees have to be bonded and insured, you know, but it's critical on the front end to really hire good people. And I'll tell you, I honestly don't think you could find a better time than right now to hire employees. There are a lot of people who are top-notch people. These aren't people that are working at McDonald's. You know, they they could be at a Chick-fil-A potentially, but most of them are senior citizens. They're, you know, sharp people coming out of nice homes who are looking to make an extra $1,000 a month, walking dogs and taking care of animals and getting paid to do it. They get tips. It's a good business, good part-time business for somebody, and a great time because there's so many people looking. So hopefully that covers some of it.
Yeah, no. So no, and that probably prompted a handful of questions. So we'll go back a little bit. We talked about the services and the walking and the pet sitting, et cetera. First off, and we kind of alluded to this in the beginning, there's no overhead. This is not some 3,000, 4,000 square foot retail space. This is virtual. So, and I want to touch on more the staff and how you build that out, but if I have a dog, first of all, smack me, but if I have a dog, right, and I need pet walked, then I'm not taking Fluffy anywhere. Fetch is coming to me to pick up Fluffy to take Fluffy for the walk.
Exactly.
Correct. Right.
And just to be clear, the office is out of the franchisee's home. So, you know, but the employees are going into the homes of the pet owners. That's why we have to be bonded and insured.
Gotcha. Cool. So you've got, and I think the best explanation I ever got for this when we first started working with Fetch was Uber, right?
Yeah.
We all know how to, you know, go on the app. I need to ride to the airport. Come get me. I can see the little car on the Uber app coming to get me. I see who the driver is. Right then, when we're in the car, we've got the map. We've got everything is done on our phones, which we would all shrivel up and die without, right? So, so you've got that. So then, talk a little bit, and you mentioned the call center. So if somebody does call in, but once they're already a customer, is this a fair statement that if I've already used Fetch and Fetch has come to walk Fluffy and I need somebody to walk Fluffy again, I could call into the call center, but I'm probably just going to go right on my phone and do and schedule everything that way. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. That's an important part of it. And again, there's a lot of emergency stuff now during COVID. I mean, the boss is going to call in 2 hours and you just found out about it this morning. And again, you got to get somebody to come and take your animals. So you're managing those employees. And just to give a little clarity on the employee piece of it. We have franchisees that in 2020 did over $1 million in revenue, and they had probably 20 to 22 total employees. Somebody that ramps up, they're going to have somewhere between 6 and 8 to get to a really reasonable place where they can make some good money on it. But so it's not like there's thousands of employees. It's a small group. They work out of their house. You background check them, so you're pretty clear on who you're hiring.
Right. And they are employees, they're contractors. How does that work?
They are W-2s because we want to be able to control their schedules. So they tell us, I want to work 20 hours a week, or I want to work 15 hours a week, or I want to work 30. None of them are full time. But if we know what those are, we need to have the flexibility to schedule them. It doesn't mean it's perfect, but it's a big piece of what happens. So somebody needs to agree to 15 hours plus potentially an additional 5 hours of emergency backup if that were needed. And you've got certain employees that can step into that role as the Uber driver.
Gotcha. So if I'm a Fetch employee and I say, hey, I can work 15 hours a week, these are the hours. Mm-hmm. Am I for sure being paid for those 15 hours, or is it those are the hours I'm on, basically on call for when somebody needs one of those services?
They really only work, they're only paid when they work, but you'll get people who schedule Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Monday through Friday to come in at a certain time to walk the dog. They may be at an office or they may be at the home office, but they need to be able to schedule somebody. So you've got employees who have very consistent appointments and go in and take care of the animal. And again, the owner knows that it's taking place because they're tracking them on the app if they want to. But it's pretty consistent income. So it takes a little bit of time to get them there, but frankly, not a lot of time. These people can keep as busy as we allow them to be.
And then how I'm guessing you have a lot of just kind of one-time or infrequent customers, but maybe kind of speak to the percentage or what it looks like people just, you know, schedule, hey, every day at 9 o'clock, somebody's coming to take Fluffy for a walk.
That's about 70% of the consistency. The other 30% are last minute things that, you know, we try to network, for instance, with realtors. And you say, well, what has a realtor got? Well, a realtor has homes that are for sale and nobody's at home and they've got a showing. They got two showings in a day. So they need somebody to go over there to the house, take the dog for a walk, you know, when that happens. So those are kind of emergency types of things as well. But we encourage the consistency, frankly, because it really develops a relationship between your employee and the animal. And this is a business. If I were to characterize it, I'd tell you we're a marketing and sales company. We're a word of mouth networking. You know, we provide all of that and it's the way you really ramp things up quickly.
So all right, gotcha. Okay. Good. So then we talk about a little bit about the employers and the app and some of the back office stuff. Who's the owner, right? They're clearly not the dog walker. What's kind of who you're looking for and what's that kind of day in the life look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. And as your slide suggests, you need somebody that loves animals. And frankly, man, there's a lot of people who love animals and hate corporate America.
Right,
and
right.
They've got manager experience. They're team builders. You've got to have somebody who isn't going to spend their time walking dogs and going with the animals. They need to, because we've got the app and the concierge service, they need to spend their time networking. Get out and meet pet groomers, veterinarians, networking groups. I mentioned realtors, friends, church, school. I mean, there's a gazillion ways that you can become known. And once you get a base of customers, the word of mouth just continues to build it. And that's a critical part of it. So it's somebody who loves to build teams. Oh, it's not a large team, but they got to be doers, people who put effort into this. We literally have people making $250 netting after all expenses and royalties, $250,000 to $300,000 plus. I didn't believe that when I first heard it, frankly, but I've since done my own due diligence and it's the real deal. So again, it's about customer service and it's about a franchisee utilizing the servant leader philosophy, which I just love because, you know, you'll get repeat customers, but you want to also have people who love what they're doing and, you know, like to make an extra $1,000, $2,000 a month part-time taking care of animals. It's a good gig.
Well, and you mentioned the repeat customers, which is obvious, but the repeat referrers too, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
In the pet industry, and you mentioned realtors, and I think any business model that has a way to connect with realtors, they are the most networked people on the planet, right? You need this for your house? Oh, I got a guy. You need this for your house? I got a girl, right? Like they have somebody for. If there was still such a thing as a Rolodex, right, theirs would be full with all of those, right? And so whether it's them, it's somebody else in their real estate office, it's their clients, right? All of these things, I think you've got that. And so really that person that as an owner that loves the animals, but you kind of have to love the people too, to get out and talk and just constantly talk with them. And you're from a staff perspective, you know, kind of use the fast food analogy, mean, this isn't just somebody, you know, mindlessly taking a $10, I don't know, like, I'm out of touch. I just saw the other day how long the minimum wage has been the minimum wage. I'm like, oh my gosh, right? And like, they're not making $8-$9 an hour flipping a burger. They generally enjoy the pets and get that kind of four-legged fun time with somebody else's furry little friend and be able to get outside sometimes, get a little fresh air and exercise, which in the last, you know, 9-10 months sometimes has been a little precious. So you've got a very passionate group of people that are around you as an owner. So I think that makes a big difference as well.
And you think of any other concept that you're trying to sell people, this is the easiest sale on the face of the earth. And so there's a lot of positive feedback that's coming to the franchisee. And as you know, success breeds success. So you go out and meet people and, you're getting 4 or 5 new clients a day, and that, you know, over time they're referring, and it doesn't take a lot of franchisees to get to that, or not franchisees, a lot of customers to get to that, $1 million base. It's kind of fascinating to me because I'm a numbers guy. I'm an investment guy. And I just look and think, wow, this is serious stuff. Right. So, yeah.
Which way to lead into the next slide there, number guy. So, because this is home-based and you've got territory, the protected territories with this, and you don't have big box retail and your staff, you're really only kind of paying when they're working, pretty darn low level investment. So give us a quick kind of peek at some of the financial side.
Yeah. And let me start with an understanding of what a territory looks like, which is at least 50,000 households. So for one territory of 50,000 households, the all-in cost for them is $80,000. But when you look at that piece of it and realize also that somebody can pick up to 3 territories. So all in for one territory is 80,000. For 2 territories, it's 104,500. And for 3, it's $129,000. And somebody can make a decent living, frankly, in one territory. But it's always nice to control the territories and be able to market in them. And if you've got somebody who is really likes the idea of leveraging their influence and they're good at networking, it's a very scalable business in a relatively short period of time. So, and I think your point there, Tim, too, is, you know, if somebody's doing $500,000 a year, which again, isn't difficult to get to, their margins are around 33%. That's somebody making 150 grand, having, 10 employees who are walking dogs and taking care of cats. So,
And that's bottom. And people always remind people when you see margins or that's bottom line, that's profit. You've already, as an owner, you've already compensated yourself in there. You've ran your expenses through the business, all of that, right? So that kind of gets lost sometimes mixed in there. Everything is paid. This is what's left at the end of the day, including paying yourself.
Actually, let me be clear. It does not include paying yourself. It really is revenue minus the royalties and other business expenses and insurance. Not a lot, but if you pay yourself 10 grand a month, then that's what's we consider profit. It doesn't assume that you're taking something out along the way. It's just because we don't know what you want to take. You may not need to take 10 grand a month. Right. You may take 5, but overall, net income to you is somewhere between 25 and 33%.
Gotcha. And I was kind of the bottom right where it was almost $1,300 average that people spend a year on their pets. I don't spend that much money a year on lunch, but I mean, of course, I don't ever leave the house, so peanut butter and jelly is only so expensive, right? But I think it's mind-boggling for the third of the world that doesn't have a dog, how much money is spent on them, right? And again, you've got with territories that big, you need a really small percentage of the population and the amount of money that they're going to be spending, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
It's a huge number. So, awesome. This is fantastic, Tom. I want to kind of last little thing I want to kind of flip to you is this is a bunch of stuff, and so thank you again for all the time. But anything else that maybe we have not talked about that you would want us to know about Fetch Pet Care?
Two things actually, and this is kind of I got to look through my notes and see if there's more than two things, but at least two that come to mind is that we're looking at a pretty simple business to get ramped up. So there's an investigation process we go through. And one of the things that I mentioned to you yesterday that's a very new thing that is just fantastic is that once I have an introductory call with somebody, I typically will send them a link to our disclosure document. And in the second call that I have with someone, we go through the investigation, or we go through the disclosure document. If things are still clear and they want to move forward, we now have twice a week a webinar that is sponsored by the president of Fetch Pet Care. She is really sharp. Her name is Maria. So she gets on Tuesday and Thursday to have this 1-hour webinar, and we'll have candidates on that there may be 2 to 15 people on the webinar at a time, but it's a great way to interact with the actual person that they would be doing business with. If they continue in the process, the ultimate end obviously is attending a meet the team day, and somebody can get through this investigation process in 3 weeks. But at the end of that point, if they look like they want to attend a meet the team day, which is, you know, basically a discovery day, they have to fly into Detroit. There's a place right outside of there that is where they have those meet the team days. But a little bit before that as well, they're going to have a one-on-one call with the CEO. So they have a webinar with the president, and then now they've scheduled one-on-one calls with the CEO. So they have a great relationship with the two people they would be doing most interacting with going forward. And to me, that's just a huge way to kind of get people comfortable to attend a discovery day. The second one that I was going to mention to you is once somebody becomes a franchisee, they're immediately assigned a one-on-one coach. There's backup with the administration in the corporation, but there's someone designated for the franchisee to help them get through the training process, which is done again in the Detroit area. But once the training is completed, that individual comes into the territory, helps them launch their business, spends a couple of days with them, and then they're available to them, you know, 365 days a year if need be, and they're compensated by how well a franchisee does. So they really want to do everything they can to help them. And there's a weekly scheduled phone call between the coach, and I hate using the word coach. I mean, that's a great concept as well, but sometimes they're a gopher. I'm a franchisee. I need an answer to this. What are other people doing? But this great ongoing support for the duration of a 10-year contract where somebody has the ability to really benefit from what it is. So I hope that helped.
Yeah, that's it. And well, and it again shows the whole point of the franchisor, right? I mean, from beginning to the end, and even getting launched as a new franchise owner, and you've got that person out there with you. Their job is to help you be successful, right? And it's to me almost sometimes overwhelming how much support a franchise like Fetch gives its owners. Makes it next to dang impossible to screw it up, right? When you get to that point. But it's great to know you've got everything to get started, and then once you're actually launched as a new franchise owner, you still have that person tied to you to again really help you succeed. So that's fantastic. So
yep, it is.
Very, very cool. Tom, thank you, man. I'm really glad we were able to get you on and learn a little bit more about Fetch Pet Care. So thanks so much for joining us today.
I appreciate it, and happy to answer any questions if somebody wants to reach out to me.
Awesome. Yeah, and hopefully this will help enlighten everyone interested in franchise ownership to some of the amazing possibilities that are out there. And if you would like to learn more about becoming a franchise owner for Fetch or any of the 500 plus brands that we are partnered with, then let's schedule a brief introductory phone call. To do so, you can find us online at francoach.net or any of the social media sites that you're spending way too much time on. For our podcast listeners out there, be sure to subscribe to the Franchising 101 series where you listen to your favorite podcast. Again, there's never any fee for our service. So we encourage you to take that very first step today to help create your better tomorrow. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Stay safe, and we look forward to connecting soon. Thanks and have a great day.